Good afternoon. Welcome to the Cone Zone. That's the great Lowell Cone. I'm also a cone. My name is Grant. The draft is next week, and we have a lot to say about it. We're going to be talking about Brandon Ayuk, who's been in the news every single day, maybe because there isn't a lot of news going on. And we're also going to talk about the Warriors and the Kings who play tonight. But first, there's a really interesting article in The Athletic by Alec Lewis, and it's about how teams draft. And it's about an analytic study that's been going on for about the last 20 years that seems to prove or to argue that teams should really never, ever trade up and that trading down is exceedingly smart. Some of Bill Walsh's best drafts were when he traded down. Does this have the ring of truth to you?
Absolutely, it does. You know, I don't get The Athletic. I don't get a lot of Athletic sports publications. That sounds to me like a hell of an article. Like, they should be praised for mm-hmm. that. Bill relentlessly traded down. He would trade down in a draft and then he'd trade down again in the same draft. The idea is you want to get as many picks as you can. And Iggy, explain the philosophy of as many picks as you can as opposed to giving up picks to trade up.
Right. The author does a really good job of sort of describing the different thought processes. When you trade up, the idea is you're certain the player you're trading up for is going to be really good. Like, you're saying, not only am I certain about this guy, but I know better than other people. People are missing an opportunity here. I am so good at scouting, so much better than the rest of my peers, that I'm taking this risk and paying a premium for a player that other teams don't value nearly as high. As opposed to when you trade down, you sort of acknowledge the fact that, you know what, there's a whole lot of risk and luck and involved in drafting 21 and 22-year-olds. Who they're going to be in a few years is not who they are now. I should trade down and just play the odds that if I have 15 picks instead of 7, I'll get more good players.
And it seems to make sense to me, and I think we can reality-base this. In the current regime, talk about some of the players they traded up to get, if you have that list.
It's been 7 years. They're going on their eighth draft. Of the guys they've traded up for, two have been good so far. Brandon Ayuk was one, and Jair Brown last year looks promising. Other than that, Trey Lance, Reuben Foster, Dante Pettis, Trey Sermon, Joe Williams, TJ Beathard.
Okay. Beathard really is nothing more. I mean, he may be a very nice man. He's nothing more than a number two or a number three quarterback on a team. You don't trade up for him. Lance obviously was a mistake. I mean, they admitted it was a mistake.
They traded three first round picks. That's what you give up for someone like a Pro Bowl quarterback who's 26.
Yeah. Iggy, Joe Williams, did he ever play in the league?
No.
Never played. And they traded up for him. Yeah. Plus, he was a running back. You can trade down for running backs and get really good ones.
Right.
In fact, Mike Shanahan used to do that. He used to get good running backs in lower positions. And look, Iggy, that 1 year with all the first round, they didn't trade up necessarily, but first round quarterbacks that didn't work out. Justin Fields, who else?
Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance.
Yeah. Trey Lance.
Even Trevor Lawrence isn't that special.
I don't think so. I think he's overrated. So the point is, even getting a first rounder, if you don't trade up, especially at quarterback, it's a crapshoot, much more than they're willing to admit.
And really, the thesis of the article is that these GMs, their ego gets in the way.
I think it's true. Yeah. Because that's what they're there for. They don't coach a game. They're there to show their brilliance.
Exactly.
And they want to demonstrate their brilliance, but maybe they're not so brilliant. Again, I want to remind people, Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick.
Right.
Joe Montana was a third-round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These experts, these personnel gurus don't necessarily, they're not necessarily better at drafting than anyone else.
Yeah, that people who are home do mock drafts.
I'm sure some of those mock drafts are really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here we are. The theme of this first segment is trade down. And let's be specific. The Niners have, in the first round, the 31st pick. Trade it down.
Yeah, that's an auction.
And get two picks.
Absolutely.
This is not theoretical. We're saying what they should be doing in the draft, in the upcoming draft. Trade down. In addition, Iggy helped me with this morning. They only have three picks in the first three rounds.
That's correct.
Get more.
Yeah, get six.
Get rid of that first round pick and pick up at least two more in the first three rounds.
I like that a lot because they have 10 picks, but seven of them are on day three. And those picks are less and less valuable because of the NIL thing in college football where players can make money staying in school. So you have fewer and fewer underclassmen declaring early and fewer draftable players in a draft. So you don't want to be hoarding day three picks. You want to get into day two. Trade down. And what the last thing about this article that's interesting from a theoretical perspective is if you're really committed to this, it's not just trading down you want to do. Trade out to next year. You can get a ton of picks next year. And if you're doing this every year, you're constantly replenishing. Something to think about for these teams.
Yeah, especially on their offense because their offense is pretty set, the Niners.
Yeah.
Trade for the next. I love, you know, this article, I haven't read it. It ought to win an award. It's really, really good.
Right. And it talks about like why teams want to do it, have hired people in the analytics department who advocate for it, but there's always so much pressure during the draft, especially if you have a franchise quarterback to show that you're being aggressive or that you're in win now mode, all these things to control the narrative or to appease the media when really it's just smart to humble yourself and trade down.
And it goes to show that these people at the 32 teams, these draft gurus, they're just people too.
Yeah.
They're just people with egos and they're in an organization and they want to assert themselves and be praised and have power just like anywhere else.
It's true. And what's fun, last point on this article, which I recommend for anyone watching, is that they talk about GMs who are prone to trade up as if they're kind of slaves to their ego. Trent Baalke, the guy who thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. The guy, this was 12 years ago, we were there, you and I, at the pre-draft press conference. They're going to have one probably next week for John Lynch. And they were picking 31st, just like the Niners this year. They had just lost in the Super Bowl. And the question was posed to Trent, do you know who you're going to draft? And he goes, oh yeah, absolutely. In fact, I've written his name down and put it in an envelope. You were there.
It was.
What hubris.
I know. I could say something snarky about him, which I will. You said he always thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. If he were the only guy in the room, would he be the smartest guy in the room?
Debatable.
Yeah.
Debatable. Fish and Chips has been a member for 8 months. Thank you very much. And he says, Chips. SF Bay Area Sports Columnist of the Year 8 times.
I think I was, yeah.
8 times.
8 times. 9 times.
9 times. All right, let's talk draft.
Ooh.
Okay. First round is a week from Thursday. And all off season, the talking heads, the gurus, were saying the Niners were going to take an offensive tackle. It's just a great year. It's a great vintage for offensive tackles. It's just. But then this week, NFL.com's Peter Schrager, NBC Bay Area's Matt Maiocco, The Athletic's Matt Barrows, all three of them coming out saying, hey, don't forget about wide receiver. Don't forget. Okay. And now that seems like the trendy pick that the Niners are going to take a wide receiver in round one. And it's coming from people who really are plugged into the organization, which makes me just want to ask you, Dad, what do you think of this?
I think it's a lot of hooey. Now, I don't know hooey. Peter Schrager. I grew up.
Those are fighting words, Dad. You called his report hooey? Hooey.
I mean, I'm sure he means it. I don't think he's being irresponsible. Iggy, when I went to Midwood High School in Brooklyn, there were so many Schragers. Of course, they all got called Schrager. So here's what I think. First of all, I don't think the Niners are going to pick a wide receiver at 31. And if they have any brains, as we've explained, they'll trade down. And I think, you know, they're listening right now.
Sure.
Absolutely. But I think what's happening, I could be wrong. Someone in the Niners, perhaps, is talking to certain media people and saying, don't be surprised if we pick a wide receiver at 31. I.e., everybody's working an angle. I could be wrong, and Barrows and Mayoko, if I'm wrong, I apologize. Mayoko, I owe you a lunch anyway, and I love you. I think it's misdirection,
right?
Possibly, on the part of the Niners. They want people to think they're interested in a wide receiver at 31 as a way of negotiating through that with Ayuk.
Right.
Do you agree? Because
this report came out coincidentally right around the same time that Brandon Ayuk unfollowed the 49ers on social media. So it's just posturing on both sides that he hasn't requested a trade. They haven't said anything, but he unfollows. All of a sudden, every mock draft has a wide receiver in the first round for the 49ers. It's like they're talking to each other without talking to each other.
Yeah, they're talking through the media. And they're sending little barbs, little missiles at each other through the media. I would be very surprised if the Niners choose a wide receiver at 31. And again, if they have any brains, they're trading down. That pick is not that great. They're trading down and they're getting two more picks in the first three rounds.
I just like your theory. When three people have the same idea and they're all very connected to the organization, it's like, oh, okay, I see what's happening here. Okay, so Brandon Ayuk is trying to make it seem like there's a whole market for him, and the Niners are trying to make it seem like they like all kind of wide receivers.
Exactly. That's what the real story is. The subtext that's really going on. Now, I never met Schrager. Who does he write for, Schrager?
He doesn't write. Well, I guess he did write this one thing. He works for NFL Network, so he's plugged in. And sometimes when the Niners do their state of the franchise, he's the MC. So he's rubbing shoulders with your Jed Yorks of the world, your John Lynch's, your Kyle Shanahan's. He's there. At the end of the day, he's there.
I'm not rubbing shoulders. And I don't think you're a shoulder rubber either.
I don't rub shoulders. No.
Are you talking Brooklyn today?
For a minute.
Should I talk California?
Sure.
Sure. It's all
Can I tell you something real quick?
So Schrager, no problem.
Schrager today in his mock draft, he has the Niners taking a wide receiver named Ladd McConkey. I'm sure he's great. His name is Ladd.
Where's he from?
McConkey, Georgia. You have a McCaffrey and a McConkey on the same team. I kind of like it.
So he's the McConkey lad.
He's a McConkey lad, yeah. Just a wee lad McConkey.
Iggy, have you ever heard of him?
No, I don't watch college football. I try to pretend like I do, and then I watch some highlights in the offseason, but I can't stand amateur athletics.
Yeah, you can't even call it amateur athletics anymore. God knows.
It's just D-grade professional athletics. Sorry.
Yeah, that's how I
had
feel.
To say it.
Okay, now you're in trouble.
Okay, now we're doing our debate.
What's
if you've watched the Cone Zone before, you will know that my dad and I like to make wagers from time to time to settle disagreements. Because why argue when you could just put a bottle of wine down on the table, per se? So we got one right now. The Brandon Ayuk debate. Will he get traded? Will he not get traded? It's time to wager.
Okay. Should we say what we're betting first or make the bet or discuss the wager?
Say what we're betting.
It'll be a bottle of wine. Iggy, I like the Beaujolais, the Fleury.
That's nice. So we're talking Kermit Lynch. We're going Kermit.
Yeah, Kermit Lynch.
Shout out to Kermit Lynch.
Okay. We also like Vintage Berkeley, but on this one, Vintage Berkeley on College Avenue. But this time, we would be going over to Kermit Lynch. So a Fleury, We're agreed on that. It's like, it's a lovely
vintage is good for wines of the world, but if you're looking Fleury in particular, you might want to go to Kermit.
Yeah, because it's you know French.
That's what Kermit does. That's Kermit for you.
That's Kermit for you. Okay, I'm saying Iggy, I'm willing to wager this bottle that they are not going to trade Ayuk, and I'll give you my reason.
Okay,
first of all, he's probably better right now than any wide receiver coming out in the draft, in spite of what the 49ers may be insinuating behind the scenes. In addition, he is now, I understand that the Niners don't really understand how to use him. I understand that. And that he's a long threat and they don't like to do that. And the quarterback, maybe he's not that good at it. Having said that, he's really good, Iggy. And I think it would be such a bad look to get rid of him. The Niners don't have the courage. And I think they shouldn't have the courage. I think they should keep him, but aren't irresponsible enough to get rid of him. So I'm saying they're going to work out a deal, or he has another year to go.
Yeah,
they could either franchise him or make him play his other year, and then of course he'd be very disgruntled. We know that. But anyway, I'm disgruntled. But I'm saying they don't get rid of him.
Could one be gruntled or only disgruntled?
You know, I don't think this is such a thing as gruntled.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
We should start that. Okay. Brandon Ayuk. I think here's where my logic goes. I don't think they're going to work out an extension with Ayuk. I think he feels that whatever the Niners are offering is less than what other teams would offer. I don't know what their initial offer is, but Devontae Smith with the Eagles just got an extension yesterday that gives him $25 million a year. And Ayuk is objectively better than Devontae Smith. So Ayuk may feel that the Niners are being unfair or not giving him his market value and that he's not going to sign anything on principle, which would bring it to, will the Niners make him play out the fifth-year option? That's what you talked about. They've mentioned it. They haven't done that yet. They've made certain players play it out, like McGlinchey, but not guys who really had a trade market. If they were to do that to Brandon Ayuk, not only would you make him disgruntled, but I think it'd be a bad look for the locker room. Like, we don't take care of our players. In fact, we kind of go to war with some of them over a couple million dollars, and we're not a player-friendly organization. When they've gotten into these situations with players in the past, like Buckner, where it's clear they're not going to be able to give the guy what he wants, they trade him. And then they come out afterward and say, you know what? We just want to do right by the guy because he's such a good guy. You know, and we just want to do right by him. You know, they say that stuff. So I kind of expect this is all a bunch of posturing, and then during the draft, the Niners will probably take a wide receiver in round one, and then in a few minutes later, we'll hear Brandon Ayuk has been traded to the Washington Commanders for picks 36 and 40 in round two, and we'll see how it works out. That's what I think.
Interesting.
Why I'm comfortable wagering this Fleury, a nice bottle of wine.
Oh, God. Iggy, if they franchise him, what would that involve?
So, sure, they'd make him play this year, and then afterward, when he wanted to hit free agency, boom, franchise tag him. He's got another one-year deal with the Niners, and it would pay him about $21, maybe $22 million, which is still less than what he wants. And at that point, he might just pull his hair out. But the Washington football team did that to Kirk Cousins for years. It's not the worst thing in the world. Could happen.
Okay. I want to say one thing. I want to be on the side of the player because in a sense, the player is labor,
right,
as opposed to ownership. But if it comes down to, are you going to make $21 million or $25 million, how can you really care? I mean, I'm not taking the side of management. I'm saying, in a way, the whole thing disgusts me because because Ayuk is not, I believe, and many like him, but I'm going to call it Ayuk, doesn't want the money because he's impoverished and he needs to feed a family and keep them from living on the street. It's about his ego, right? I want to be the highest paid, or I want to be one of the highest paid. I'm not in the business of supporting his ego or management's financial needs.
Right.
We can explain it.
Yeah.
And try to make sense of it. I choose not to take a side. I don't.
Yeah,
I don't
I'm not care. Taking a side either. I'm just sort of trying to figure out. I'm trying to explain why I don't think they're going to come to an agreement. And it, yeah, I mean, you could say that Ayuk's being greedy, but it is like his agent's job. If you're a first round pick, if you're that good of a wide receiver, you have an agent whose entire job is to make sure that you get as much money as you deserve, as you have earned.
Yep, absolutely. So we've explained it. Go in good faith. I have no interest in what he gets, but I would like to win the bet, and I would like to think he's going to be on the team and be happy about it, and they're going to find a way to better utilize him. That's what I would like to think.
Well, that's a hopeful way to go. What could happen is, let's say the Niners don't extend his contract, make him play out the fifth-year option, really play hardball. What he could do is skip a few games. He could skip 4, 5, 6 games and say what happens. I mean, let's see how the Niners might be able to win without him, in which case he's hasn't helped himself at all. But he could sort of like hurt the 49ers this season. And that's another thing they have to calculate.
When you say miss a few games, like he said, I have an ingrown toenail.
No, I'm not playing. I'm not playing. I will sit out. This must be like a number that a player can sit out and not miss like an accrued season. It must be 4, 5, 6 games, something like that. I'll sit out as many as I can, and then I'll come back when I have to, because if I don't, then I can't be a free agent next year. But whatever the number is, he won't play.
And that hurts. They don't have to be injured. They could just say, I'm not playing.
They can sit out. I think, yes, players do this. And then usually they get the extension.
Whoa.
Yeah. So he has some recourse.
Yeah. This could get ugly.
It could get ugly. But I don't really care. I just want to win the bottle of wine.
Well, here's the thing. If I win the bottle of wine, I'll share it with you.
Same.
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 You know what worries me?
Tell me.
Oh, you're going to do some picks?
Tell you what I want to talk about worries and then picks.
No, I'm going to tell you after the picks.
We're going to express our worries. Okay, we're going to do some super chats, and then we're going to do worries, and then we're going to do sleep. Hold on. McCaffrey plus McKivitz equals McClunky, says Slide 23. A McCaffrey, a McKivitz, and a McConkey on the same offense. I think that's pretty good.
I love it.
Lowell just got your book. Can't wait to read it, says Ryan Kessler.
Hey, gloves Ryan, off. Thank you so much for getting it.
Fish and chips, gruntled, satisfied, content, like Jed York. I'm extremely gruntled right now.
Okay.
Juan Solo says, Cone Zone has the best Niners content out there, !!
Thank you, Juan.
Thank you very much. Michael McCann says, I don't see it as Ayuk's ego. I think it's more that he knows he's not utilized. He wants his worth, not his worth based off team utilization.
Okay, that's a fair point. Thank you.
One more thing. The thing with Deebo Samuel, he's really good friends with Kyle Shanahan. And it seemed like Kyle Shanahan sort of saved that situation a couple of years ago. I don't know that Brandon Ayuk's as good of friends with Kyle Shanahan. Do you think it's possible that Brandon Ayuk just doesn't want to be here?
Oh,
I mean, I'm sure he would if they pay him. But
yeah, I understand your point.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
This is a case where I wish I were covering the team, and I would know a little more. So I'm a complete outsider, and I have been for 7 or 8 years now. I do think that could be a factor. He never, Ayuk, never really says nice things about Shanahan. And frankly, Shanahan never says nice things about him.
No.
They seem to exist.
Entire bromance between Deebo and Kyle. That's very public.
Yeah.
They talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Ayuk, they seem to exist in parallel worlds,
yes.
Not in the same world. So I think he may feel that, and with some basis, Kyle either refuses to use me the right way or doesn't have a clue. And I only have this one life in football right now. And that's a very, you know, I wish that we knew Ayuk and could talk to him, but he's a little... diffident, would you say?
Yes. Yes. I think that's another reason I feel confident making this wager. I think it's not necessarily that the Niners don't want him. It's that he's going to be much more difficult than Deebo, who had a lot of sound and fury, but ultimately melted when Kyle Shanahan called his phone. I don't think it's going to be that easy with Brandon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's make some picks. Let's make some picks. Warriors play tonight against the Kings, two local teams. Let's make the picks, and then we'll break down the matchup. On Sleeper, Curry, 28.5 points. You like the points? You want to do something other than points for Curry?
I'll do that's a lot points. Of points.
Going with the points? You want more?
Yes, I want more.
Because this is like a Game 7 situation.
It's a Game 7 situation. It's a feeling of the playoffs.
It's got a feeling of the playoffs, although it's a play-in, which is different.
Not a playoff, yeah.
Draymond, hold on. Where are the points? 7.5 points for Draymond. For
Draymond?
Yeah.
Fewer.
He had 0 points in the last game. He must not have played in that one.
Yeah,
he must not have played in that one. Okay.
But fewer. He could have.
Fewer. How happy would it make you if all of these apps changed the less to fewer?
I wouldn't. I don't care. I make fun with language.
Klay Thompson, Chris Paul, Wiggins. Who you like?
Oh, let's do Chris Paul. He's a very interesting player.
Okay. 5.5 assists for Chris Paul.
More.
More, right?
I love more. To watch him as a point guard. More.
More. More. What about Klay?
What are we talking about?
19.5 points, 3.5 threes.
Let's do points for Klay. It says 19.5.
Yeah.
More.
More. Okay, let's do one King. Yeah.
One game.
It's a bonus. 18.5 points.
No.
No. Not today.
Okay, not today. It's a bonus.
Those are our picks. Look at them on the screen. If you want to make them, use that promo code CONE, C-O-H-N. Deposit match up to $500. Done. Game tonight. Let's talk about it, Dad. Okay. You got the Warriors and the Kings. Who do you like and why?
I'd like to just preface this by saying I know this is a 49ers channel, but, you know, it's the play-in game tonight. And
it's not football season. We got to watch TV tonight.
We got to watch TV. And I'm going to, although I don't follow the Warriors the way I used to. I mean, I've schlepped around the country so many years with the Steve Kerr team because they were really good and they were schlepping. I'm going to watch it at home on TV. Oh, I'm picking the Warriors in this game. Let me just give you a little background. First of all, the only superstar on the court is Curry. He may be, in my book, the greatest point guard of all time. So he's an absolute superstar, and he's really competitive.
Yep.
So that's one. I checked out the records. They have the exact same record, but in the last 10 games, the Warriors are 8-2 and the Kings are 4-6. That's not good. So, Look, I understand that anything can happen in one game. And these play-in teams, all they deserve is one game. That, you know, they're getting in as sort of a courtesy. All they deserve is one game. I understand anything can happen. But given the strength of the roster, the coach, the experience, I think the Warriors are going to beat them. What about you, Iggy?
I think they should beat them, and if they don't, they got to blow that team up. How about that? They freaking should beat the Kings for a lot of reasons. I think the Warriors are even better on the road this year than at home. They have championship. I mean, we can all the reasons they should beat the Kings. Absolutely, they beat them 2 years ago in the playoffs. Although that game did go down to seven games, that series went to seven games, and they had to win in Sacramento, so it was close. If they lose to the Kings after this mediocre freaking season that they had, a lot of things have to change with this team. How many times are you going to run it back?
Yeah. Hey, Iggy, I love what you're saying, and I would actually go even a little further. No matter what happens with the Kings, they need to blow this team up. I do.
Yeah, save them winning the championship again. They got to blow this team up.
Iggy, they're not going to win the championship again.
No, they're not.
Let's be real. No, the Warriors are a middle-of-the-road team. They're pretty good. They're better than 500. They cannot beat the really good teams. We've seen it this season. They can't beat them. They can beat San Antonio. You know, they can beat Houston, but they're really not that good. And I'll put it like this, and I'll ask you. We're pretending we're general managers. You're the general manager of the Warriors. Are there any players currently on the Warriors who are untouchable in terms of trade?
No. I mean, Curry. Even though he's 36.
Yes. I would say Curry is absolutely untouchable. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
No. And not Clay, not Draymond, even though they're four-time champions. No. And what sucks about the way the Warriors are put together is, who the hell has trade value on this team? Who the hell wants any of these players behind besides Curry? Pods? Kuminga. Who wants Kuminga? What is he going to get you? Wiggins. Who? No one wants Wiggins. They're stuck with Wiggins. That's their guy.
Yeah.
It's a preposterously put together team.
Chris Paul is a Hall of Fame player, but he's 50. He's not the foundation of a team. You know, he's an extra. In this point in his career, he's an extra. He's a great extra, but he's an extra. So I loved Klay Thompson and I loved Draymond Green as players a few years ago. They're not as good as they used to be. And this team should have been made over a while ago. And now, no matter what happens, unless they win the championship, but Iggy, I'd bet a whole case of wine that they're not going to win the championship. They're going to be eliminated pretty quick, even if they get past this bunch in Sacramento. So I really think the only player who is untouchable is Curry. Anybody else is they could deal. And I love your point. Who wants him anyway?
Yeah. I mean, I understand holding on to Clay and Draymond this long because they're part of your championship dynasty, but like supplementing them with a bunch of young players and old Chris Paul makes no sense. All the role players should be about 30 years old. And 10 years ago when they were winning championships, they had those guys. Bogut, Zaza, Iguodala. Who else do they have? Spates. Livingston, they get five or six of them. Now the role players are guys who, like, you have no idea what you're going to get from that guy that night.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Which is strange. So that comes back to Joe Lacob, who was looking like the best owner in sports or in the Bay Area by far, but he inherited Steph Curry. And look what he's done now. Now this is his time to sort of build the team in his image, and it's a preposterous team with Steph Curry.
Yeah, and it seems like he has sentiment. He doesn't want to get rid of Clay or Draymond for sentimental reasons. The Niners were never like that. I would point out the Niners got rid of Joe Montana, Ronnie Lott, Roger Craig, Jerry Rice. Come on.
Let me disagree with you. I don't think he's sentimental. I think he's afraid of the backlash of getting those guys because he didn't build around him. All the other players are young. I think he wants to build a team without Steph Curry and show that he can build a team with Podzemski and Kuminga and a bunch of guys who are 21 years old, but he's scared to move on from the Hall of Famers. I think he's scared.
So you don't think it's sentimental. You think it's scaredy cat.
Scaredy cat.
Scaredy cat.
All the young players he's added throughout the years, Wiseman, Kuminga. I just like saying that name. Had no commitment to vets. That to me is some hubris right there. So I'm watching you, Lacob. I'm watching you. Because we're all over Jed York over here, but we see you too.
Hey, listen, Bob Myers got out at just the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
He sure did. Dad, what's the best organization in the Bay Area right now, sports-wise?
Okay, give me a second to think about it. Mm-hmm. I know it's not the A's. I know it's not the A's. So we're talking Giants, Warriors, or 49ers.
Yeah.
Well, a few years ago, I would have said Warriors.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to say 49ers.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
And I you think can't so. Say... You can't say, because let's go to the Giants again. The Giants, put pitching aside for a moment. There is not one player on that team of the eight that I find I would rate any higher than a B-.
Wow.
And there is
Lamont Wade.
Junior.
I like watching Lamont Wade. He's pretty good. But no, yeah, other than him,
he's a B. He's a B minus.
He's a B minus. He's a B minus.
And there is no difference maker. And what's worse, there is no one you want to come out to watch.
Nope. Absolutely not.
I mean, I thought the third baseman, Chapman, he's a really good fielder, but Iggy, the guy, is he blind? He can't hit?
No. And not the center fielder either. I'm sorry.
No, he's a good addition. He's decent. He's a good little player.
Yeah. He'll hit a single sometimes. That team's boring. The Giants are flat out boring.
I have to agree. So it's right now, the best organization. This is interesting.
Yeah.
I love this. So let me say.
Yeah.
The best organization is the Niners, but that doesn't mean they're a good organization.
No. No.
They're the best.
Because they're in the process. Like, they're in their dynasty phase, or they should be, like the Warriors were 10 years ago, but they're blowing it.
Yeah.
They're freaking blowing it.
And Iggy, after this season, I think they're going to be in the same position as the Warriors.
Right.
Holding on to guys too, a little slow, yep. All of that.
Agreed.
They're a year away from being the Warriors where the Warriors are now.
And with the Warriors, you can at least understand it. Like, man, how do we trade Draymond? How do we trade Clay? Like, Kittle? Hi, George? Two catches in the Super Bowl? I mean, there's a big difference. Trent Williams, he had a holding penalty. And he was the only offensive lineman in the Super Bowl that had a holding penalty. Trent Williams. A lot of these vets who went to the biggest game and flopped. Even McCaffrey. That was your coronation moment, and you fumbled on the first drive. Sorry.
Debo. Yeah, he did. Debo was a flop. He was a flopperinsky.
Yeah, flop. Ayuk was a no-show, and maybe he feels aggrieved like it wasn't his fault. But again, dude, what do the Chiefs think of you? That you were more concerned about fighting than playing. That's what they said.
And didn't even know your name.
Ako. Dave Merritt. That's what he said.
Yeah. He said
that was disrespectful.
Just terrible.
Wonderfully disrespectful. I noticed that a lot with football. Like when we're talking about Warriors Kings, when the Warriors talk about the Kings and vice versa and lead it to this game, all the players and coaches will talk about the players by name. And they'll, oh my God, De'Aaron Fox is such a great player. And they're just experts on the other team. When you'll ask coaches midweek about the upcoming opponent, they will relentlessly talk about the other team's players. Oh, 19 is a good player, and you got to watch out for 65. Like, no freaking respect. I learned who you were this morning, and I'm dealing with you as a number, and I don't care what your name is. All the time.
Yeah, and I want to give you a little background on that.
Yeah.
Because I've sat in when they watch film. While they're watching film, they don't say the guy's name. They say, oh, look at 19.
Right.
So all during the week, they're only identified as their number
right.
when they watch film. Yeah.
And what's funny is like football people pretend to be so respectful, right? Like they don't pump up the game the way fighters pump up a fight with the phony disrespect. Oh, we just think so much of 19 and 75. But really, when they say that, it's like, who the fuck cares what his name is? It's a big fuck you, right? But we'll call him 19 is so good. Whatever his name
listen.
Is.
When Bill Walsh came back to Stanford for his second stint in 1992, he was always so polite about the other team and this and that. At the end of that season, I think I was in a coaches meeting and they won for the best coaching staff of the Pac-10, whatever it was that year. I was sitting there and Bill said to the coaches, he said, you know why we won this? Because we kicked everybody else's ass. That's what he said. And Iggy, I was thinking he wasn't so respectful here in this room because we kicked everybody else's ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
But right, in public when coaches talk, it's like, oh, no, these teams are just so good.
Oh,
we're just focused on what we do. This is really about us. It's not even about them. If we do what we do, these guys fucking suck.
Right?
Yeah. Oh.
God. Yeah, Bill used to call me and he would talk about the defensive coordinator for the Raiders, that Ryan, the fat guy.
Rex.
And Bill was, you know, not Rex, the other one,
Rob.
His brother.
Rob Ryan.
And Bill wasn't well at the end. He was dying. but he wanted to cheer up. He hated the Raiders. And he would say, "Hey, Lowell." And so what Billy said, "Tell me about that fat fuck on the Raiders." And he would say it on the phone. And I think I knew who he meant. He said, "Oh, we're getting silly now." But he did. He used to, and it was more than one phone call. He was visually offended by. He said, "And not only how fat he is, and his hair." He used to say, "How do you have hair like that?" Bill had a little brush. He was always brushing his hair. You know what I mean? He was trim. He looked great. He was so right. Handsome. And he looked at this guy. He looked like a caveman on the other. And he must have thought, this is what football is, these Ryans.
And Raider Niner says, "Lowell, let's hear your concern. Remember before we did the sleeper pick, you said you had some concerns."
Yeah, this was my concern. My concern is we usually go an hour. Here we are at 40 minutes and we're out of topics. And we already did basketball. So my concern is, I wish we had another football topic. I feel like we're letting down on the job. That's my concern.
Okay, they have some questions for us. Jeffrey Franco wants to know, "Lowell, greatest overall athlete of all time."
In any sport?
Any sport.
Wow. Okay, I got some.
I know who you're going to say, and I can't wait for you to say it.
No, you don't know who I was going to say.
I do.
Okay, I was going to say Bruce Jenner.
Oh, wow.
He was a decathlon champion. I knew Bruce when he was Bruce. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did not think you were going to say Bruce
and
Jenner.
Not Caitlin. I knew him as Bruce, and I'm talking about him when he won the decathlon. I knew him before he won it. I had done an article about him for the San Jose Mercury. Iggy, what an athlete. And these decathletes can do everything. And so I would say him. I would say in the running, probably Jerry Rice as a great athlete. But I still haven't hit the one you were thinking, I would say.
I thought you were going to say Sugar Robinson. I mean, he's the greatest pound-for-pound fighter in two different weight classes.
Absolutely. Here's the thing, Iggy.
Endurance, power, hand-eye coordination, quickness. I mean, what did he not have?
Yeah. Okay. It's a tough question. Yeah. If you put him in the batter's box, could he hit a curveball?
Okay, I got another one for you.
Who?
Bo Jackson.
Oh, now you're talking.
Bo Jackson,
yes. Now you're talking. Yeah. I think that's really legit. Yeah. Bo Jackson has showed everything. So, yes, with some help from Iggy, yeah, Bo Jackson. And listen, and we know people, I don't know Bo, but Iggy and I know people who know Bo. Apparently, he's the most delightful person. And a lot of them aren't. Believe me, a lot of them aren't. So, yeah, Bo Jackson.
I mean, Bo Jackson, like the stories about him are legendary. So he'd be playing baseball and he was excellent at baseball and the baseball season would go into October. And so he'd finally finish up with the Royals or whatever team he was on. And then he'd call the Raiders and say, "I'm here." And he would just show up, no freaking training camp, no preseason, no nothing. And they would say, "Thank you very much, Bo. Hey, Marcus Allen. Get the fuck off the field. We got Bo Jackson here. Thank you very much." And Marcus was great.
Yeah. Oh, Marcus was great. But Bo Jackson, yeah.
Yeah. Good question.
Yeah.
Bo Jackson.
Like for example, I just want to finish. O.J. Simpson, one of the most horrible people who ever lived, was a great running back. He was not in the same universe as Bo Jackson.
No. As an athlete or even as a running back. And I like how when I brought up Sugar Ray Robinson, you immediately went to baseball. Like, well, could he hit a curveball? Because baseball really is like the hardest of the sports to master. You can't pick baseball up in high school. You got to play that your whole life. So someone who could be equally as good at baseball and football is incredible. I mean, Deion Sanders played both, but he wasn't a particularly good baseball player. Bo Jackson was a very good baseball player. Tell the Jose Canseco story.
Okay. But Michael Jordan was a horrible baseball player.
Horrible baseball player.
He was a joke. He was a joke.
Yeah. Because you can't pick that sport up.
No. Which Jose Canseco story?
Was it when Bo Jackson came to say hello to him in the clubhouse?
No. It's what happened? You know, It's so different now, and it makes me sick. Used to be for a day game, you get there in the morning early, you talk to the players at their cubicles, they'd go out for batting practice, and then you'd all go back into the clubhouse, and that was a very relaxed time, and you could talk to people. So it was before a game, a Wednesday at the Coliseum, and Bo Jackson was in the visiting clubhouse, and I'm talking to Canseco. He's on one side of the wall, the lockers along the whole wall, and he and McGuire had lockers way far away from each other, but on the same line. And so Bo, I'll never forget, he came in and he was just wearing shorts and socks. It wasn't far from one clubhouse to the other, not even shoes, just socks. And he and McGuire were chatting a long time. And by the way, Mark McGuire is a very nice man. He's a very nice man. So they were chatting. And then after a while, you know, he had to go back and he had to be with the team. And it's rare that someone from another clubhouse comes in to the other clubhouse. So as he's leaving, he puts his hand on the door, and Canseco, who had a lovely sense of humor, said out loud to the whole group of A's, he said, "Can we have Bo?" He was like choosing up teams, you know what I mean? And he wanted to be on a team with Bo.
Yeah, as long as you're in here, like, why don't we get him a uniform? Let me get his stats real quick. Bo Jackson. For the Raiders, he averaged 5.4 yards per carry for his career. And let me get his baseball stats. Bo Jackson. Okay. He was an all-star at 89. He hit 32 home runs that year. Jesus.
Icky. I got it.
22, 25, 32, 28 home runs. Whoa. Yeah, what an incredible athlete.
Iggy, you're breaking up on me a little. Do you have extra things opened up?
Sorry about that. I'm back. Okay. Yeah, okay. I opened up Bo Jackson's stats. My fault. But he hit 32 home runs in a season one time. That's incredible.
He was a wonderful player. Yeah.
What a natural.
And Iggy, what did you say he averaged per yard, per rush in the NFL?
5.4 yards per carry for his career.
Oi. Oi. Great. Absolutely great. Oi.
Yay. Oi. All right. Well, look, we did 45 minutes. There is no news going on right now. I think that's a good show for mid-April. And next week, there'll be more stuff going on. I liked our show.
Right. Okay. All right. I hope everybody else liked it. I love doing this stuff with my son. I love you, Grant.
Love you, too. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.